There are times where you're alone and you feel like someone's calling your name, right? They say you're not supposed to answer, right? Well, I've accidentally answered once before. When I did, it called my name again. Then it started getting closer and closer. By the time I realized that I was all alone, I could already hear the voice in the next room. There was no way it was going to end well. Shit, it's calling me again. The moment I thought that, my phone rang, and I nearly wet myself. But in the end, it seemed like that phone call saved me. As soon as the phone rang, the presence ran off somewhere. Hey, I had a really bad premonition. Are you still alive? Ever since then, I pretend not to hear anything, and I especially make sure not to answer. I don't feel any mental burden or anything. I'm fine. But every now and then, I still hear my name being called out. If it turns out I'm mentally ill without even realizing it, well, that's pretty scary in and of itself. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Koobana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. This week, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite aspects of Japanese horror, ghosts. As you may know, ghosts in Japan are quite different to their Western counterparts. It is believed that once a person dies, their spirit enters a type of purgatory until the proper funeral rites are performed, so they may pass on. But if these rites aren't performed, or if the person dies in a particularly violent way, the soul may transform into a yurei and linger between life and death. These yurei tend to be tied to a specific place, object, or person, and will linger until they are either exorcised or complete their unfinished business, such as revenge. These yurei can be warded away with Shinto talismans and shimenawa, their special ropes that are used for purification. Now, our first story for this week features a young man who finds a broken cell phone in the trash. He discovers the SD card is still inside and decides to take it home with him. When he puts the card into his computer, however, the contents are beyond even what he imagined. Find out what happens in What I Found on the SD Card. This is my terrifying story. So, a while back I went to the department store. I sat down on a bench to have a smoke after I was done shopping, when I looked over at the rubbish bin next to me. It was pretty clean and mostly empty, but someone had thrown away a mobile phone in it. I probably should have left it there, but I picked it up anyway. The fold-up part was twisted, so the whole thing was broken. I went to put it back in the bin, but on a whim I checked the memory card, and there was a 1GB mini SD card in there. Lucky, I thought, and took it with me. How stupid I was. When I got home, I put the card in my PC. Naturally, if you found an SD card, you'd want to know what's in it, right? I got excited, wondering if there might be any nudes or anything, and saw there were over 100 photos in it. I opened the first one, and as I clicked through them, I realized they weren't very interesting at all. There was a middle-aged woman and a young girl, presumably her child, not my type at all, and then some photos of tourist spots in Tokyo, Fukuyama, etc. It was probably some old guy taking photos of his family in their outings, I figured. Just like that, my excitement vanished. But as I kept clicking the next button, a strange photo popped up. It was a dark room, and in the middle there was a woman with long black hair, standing with her back to the camera. Anticipation rose within me once more. She was naked, you see. Excited, I clicked next, and the girl was looking this way. But just her head. Huh? I thought. Her body was facing the other way, but her head was facing this way. It was like The Exorcist, but even worse than that, she had no eyes. Like, they weren't hidden or anything. The place where her eyes should be was just skin. It was smooth, like a cheek. What the hell? I thought, but I clicked next again. The next photo was pitch black. So was the next one, and the one after that. The last three photos were entirely black, and then that was it. They ended. They creeped me out, but I thought maybe the old guy was just playing around. Like, maybe he took them to steal his nerves so he got scared less easily or something. I decided not to think about them anymore and formatted the card, but as soon as I clicked format, the lights in my room turned off. All of them. I lived alone in an apartment, and in the 5 years I'd been there, that was the first time it had ever happened. It was around 10 p.m, so of course it was dark. The PC light was still on though, so it wasn't pitch black. I looked outside and the supermarket across the street still had its lights on, so it wasn't a blackout. Maybe it was the breaker, I thought. And when I went to go to the entrance, I heard a noise coming from the kitchen. I froze. I lived alone. There shouldn't be anyone else there but me. I took a deep breath. It was just my imagination. That's it. I went down the hallway. I used my laptop for light in the darkness. I heard something in the kitchen again. It sounded like heavy boots walking across the floor. That wasn't just my imagination. I most definitely heard something. I screamed and ran for the entrance. I heard something chasing me from behind. I flicked the breaker switch, about ready to burst into tears. The lights flickered a few times before turning on, and I could see the hallway, white as always. Nobody was there. The TV roared to life in the room I was just in. I timidly retraced my steps. The TV was on at full volume. The TV wasn't even on before the lights turned off, and the volume should have been at a normal level regardless. I turned it off and sat down, realizing I was still holding the laptop. There was a message on screen informing me that the formatting was finished. When I saw that, I don't know why, but I felt like it was all over. I decided that sound from the kitchen and the footsteps must have just been my imagination after all. I decided to go to sleep, but I was scared, so I left the lights on. I don't know how long I slept for, but at some point I was having trouble breathing, so I woke up. It was like I was about to stop breathing. I breathed in and out a few times and went to turn the lights on when I remembered. I left them on when I went to sleep. Now they were off. As soon as I realized, I heard a sound from nearby. This sound wasn't coming from the kitchen. It was coming from inside the same room. It sounded like an insect, maybe a cockroach or something. I hated cockroaches, but they didn't scare me. At least, I thought it was one, but I realized the body was probably too long to be that. My heart started beating so fast I thought it was going to explode, and it was like my ears were blocked. I thought about getting up to turn on the lights, but if it was the breaker again, I didn't like my chances of reaching it in time this time around. I closed my eyes and tried to go back to sleep. But the noise kept getting closer and closer. And then something brushed my face. I knew what it was immediately. It was hair. Then I heard something close by my ear. "Who are you?" It was quiet, but I most definitely heard it. It was a woman's voice. "That's my line," I thought, but I remained silent. Then I heard the sound again, and the thing moved away. At some point I must have fallen asleep again, but when I woke up in the morning and looked in the mirror, I was shocked. My face was covered in welts. I thought about taking the day off and going to the hospital, but before that, something drew me to the PC, so I turned it on. I opened the SD card, and even though I formatted it the night before, the data was back again. I felt like crying. I didn't want to look, but I was concerned about the previous night's events. As I went through the photos again, that girl without eyes was still there. As I went to the next photo, the pitch black one, I noticed something. I didn't notice it the day before, but in the darkness there was a small light, like a small rip. The next photo was the same. Towards the edge, the black lightened up, and through it I could see something skin-colored. I started to think that maybe, just maybe, someone's hair was wrapped around the camera lens. What I could see through the darkness was perhaps the woman's missing eye area. I could have been wrong, but the moment I thought it, I felt sick. I took the card out, put it into a charm I received from my mother, and ran to a nearby shrine. I buried it in the corner of the grounds and then ran home again at full speed. I took the day off work, went to see the dermatologist, and got some medicine for the welts. I relaxed at a spa for a bit, and by the time I got home, I felt stupid for how worked up I'd gotten over the whole mess. But as I stepped inside, my chest began to hurt, and my ears felt strange as well. "Huh?" I thought, and checked the PC, but of course the card wasn't there. Maybe I was just being oversensitive, but when I looked at the screen, I saw a folder in my documents that I had no recollection of. I had a bad feeling, and as expected, when I opened the folder, I saw that photo. All of them were there, but I never copied them. Unable to deal with it anymore, I took the PC to a second-hand store to trade it in. I told them my personal information was still inside, so they overwrote the entire operating system for me. I've been so scared that I haven't owned a computer since. I've been typing this whole story on my phone. The welts on my face went away, and I stopped hearing strange noises. Every now and then I find a long hair in my pocket, but I think it's just my imagination. Everyone, you should be careful of what you pick up. Our next story features a group of university students who get their dream part-time job at a holiday resort. But something's not quite right with this resort. What secrets is it hiding? Find out in "I'm Glad We Didn't Go Into That Villa." a story about when I nearly ran into a ghost. It happened when I was a university student. Just before the summer holidays, I found a part-time job at a holiday resort with a few of my classmates. Even though it was called a resort job, it was at a now-declining summer resort cleaning a holiday house. For 2 nights and 3 days, food and accommodation were included. 5 of us from our class, 3 guys and 2 girls, decided to go. The manager of the resort met us when we arrived at the closest station and took us there by car. Although it was old, it was a rather large Western-style resort with a garden and a pool. It was a really nice place. But while we were all carrying on, like, wow, wow, only one person, A-san alone, was quiet. She was in general a quiet person, but on the way she'd been having fun like the rest of us. I wondered what was wrong when suddenly A-san's phone rang. She picked it up. After finishing her conversation, she turned to all of us. "I'm sorry. That was our professor. He wants us all to return right away. There's an academic meeting soon, so it's become a little inconvenient. I'm sorry we came all this way. We'd like to cancel the part-time job." The old man faltered at her sudden words.
I need someone to work today. Do you have any friends who could come instead?"
"Sorry, I think that would be difficult as well," A-san asserted decisively. I was about to ask just what was going on when beside her, B went, "Oh yeah, the professor asked us to do some work. The deadline is tomorrow, so we have to get back." "I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. We'll be going back now. We'll walk to the station, so there's no need for you to escort us back." A-san grabbed the other girl's hand and pulled her along as she started walking. "Well, if you'll excuse us, we'll be going now." At B's prompting, I also bowed and left. I took a quick look back, and the old guy was just standing there, looking at the holiday house. "Hey, what did the professor say?" I asked A-san as we were walking back to the station. "I'll tell you once we're on the train," she said, without revealing anything. B also silently nodded his head. We got on the train, and after we passed about 2 stops, A-san finally told us, "I'm sorry. The professor didn't really call. I lied. Just that holiday house was scary. I thought we shouldn't stay there."
"What the hell?"
I said, when B muttered absent-mindedly. "You guys didn't see it, huh? It was at the bottom of the pool, right? There were jars and mannequin arms all over the place weighing something down." "Huh?" A-san let out a puzzled voice. "Hmm? A-san, isn't that why you refused to go?" "No. I refused because there was a woman with a sickle standing near the window." According to A-san, the window was fixed with shimenawa, rope used to ward against evil. The woman inside had white eyes and with all her might was trying to cut the rope with her sickle. As soon as we heard that, we all agreed that it was for the best that we didn't stay there. Not all ghosts in Japan are necessarily evil. While many cause widespread havoc until they get what they want, others are just unable to pass on for whatever reason. They linger on Earth, often unaware that they're even dead. In our next story, a young boy goes to take his father lunch in the nearby mines. He passes the temporary apartments set up for the workers on the way. But on this particular day, something is different about them. They're much larger than normal. Find out why in The Apartments Were Bigger Than Usual. This is a story I heard from the father of one of my classmates in junior high school. Supposedly, this father can see ghosts. I'll refer to him as A after this. When A was an elementary school student, he used to take lunch to his father working in a nearby mine every day. According to his story, the mine wasn't that far from his house. After passing through a single bamboo grove, there were some apartments for the people who worked in the mine. It was a three-story building. Each apartment had a wooden tag on which the number of the floor and room was written, so people could easily understand who was in which room. They were written like 2, 3, which meant room 3 on the second floor. A always gave lunch to the caretaker, but one day when he went to give it to him as always, he noticed that the apartments were bigger than usual. He'd seen them many times, but this time they rose higher into the sky. When he counted 6 floors. But despite that, there seemed to be no signs of life in them. Or, to put it more correctly, there didn't appear to be any people in them. Just then a window on the 5th floor opened and an old man leaned out. He was someone he knew well. His father often brought him around to the house. The old man turned to A and said, "Ah, you brought lunch today as well, huh? Such a good boy." And then went back into the room. A was surprised to see someone appear on the floor where he couldn't see any signs of life, but being an elementary school student, he soon got over it. Then the next day, when he went to deliver his father's lunch again, the building was back to 3 floors. Thinking it strange, he asked the caretaker about it, but after a pause, he finally laughed and said, "There's no way." And that was that. Of course, what he was saying was strange, but there was no way he could keep quiet about it. A spoke to his father about it, about how the building had 6 floors and how the old man had appeared from the 5th floor that shouldn't even exist. Then his father went silent and started to say something quietly to him. Well, actually, the old guy passed away in an accident. A big rock fell, you see. He adored you, though. He probably just wanted to see you one last time. It wasn't uncommon for people to die in accidents in the mine. Perhaps the extra floors were there for those people who died and were waiting to pass on into heaven. A, being a child, certainly thought so. Before they knew it, it was evening. A said the scenery was just a little more sad than usual that day. Dinner was his favourite, curry, but as he rushed home, he found something caught in the bamboo grove. As he passed it, he noticed it was a wooden tag. The tag had 6-3 written on it. Cherry blossoms, the sign of spring, of new beginnings, of rebirth. But when this 6th grade boy is returning home one night and decides to cut through the park, he discovers something hanging from the beautiful pink flowery tree that he should never have seen. Find out what in Cherry Blossom Tree. When I was in the 6th grade of elementary school, I used to travel by train to cram school in order to prepare for my junior high entrance exams. I would return home with one of the cram school kids who lived in my neighbourhood, so even if it was dark, I wasn't scared. Cutting through the park on the way home was quicker, so we always passed through it. One day, we were passing through the park at about 9 p.m, like always, when we saw a woman in blue standing underneath the cherry blossom tree in the corner of the lot. I didn't take much notice of her, but then my friend said something strange. "Isn't that person awfully tall?" The woman was standing there, looking down. From far away, her head appeared to be quite high off the ground. I was intrigued, so I went towards her. And then I realized the woman was floating in the air. She was hanging from a large branch by a rope. I was so scared I couldn't even cry out. My friend and I ran to the police box near the park. The officer was kind and calmed down the two crying children that had come running into his police box. After we finally calmed down and explained the situation to him, he took us home rather than back to the park. I heard from my parents the next day that when the officer dropped us off, he asked our parents to bring us back the following day. So that day I went back with my parents and my friend, and his parents were also there. We all went to the park together. The large branch of the cherry blossom tree was cut off at the trunk. Exactly 1 year earlier, a woman in blue had hung herself from the tree and committed suicide. The part of the branch that the rope hung from started to rot, and so no one else would be able to hang themselves from the tree again. The branch was cut off at the base. Rumors of a ghost began while the branch still existed, and even after it was cut down, people would still enter the police box to report a woman in blue hanging from the tree. The police officer apparently told our parents this. We were only children, so in order not to shock us too much, he told our parents to try and hide that part from us. When I grew up, I experienced my first bout of sleep paralysis, and following that, I started to experience strange things every now and then. I asked my parents if there was anyone who could purify me, and they were like, "Well, actually," and told me this story. I thought it was my imagination, but I remembered finding someone hanging. To this day, I can't forget that scene, but I've otherwise led a life without the ability to see ghosts. By the way, I've had myself purified since then, and I also received a protection charm, so nothing like that has happened ever again. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. If you did, please consider leaving a review for it on iTunes. It's super easy, and you can find the link for it at koobana.net/podcast. You can also find bonus translations and help unlock extra episodes at our Patreon. Visit koobana.net to discover how you can get even more Japanese horror. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you again next time for more Koobana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koobana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koobana.net now.